Yesterday we learned the Brisker Rav on Mahadran. Brisker Rav points out a Yesodistic Machlokas in Hidr Mitzvah. And Machlokas between the Rambam and the way the Brisker Rav says, between the Rambam and the Ramah, whether a Hidr Mitzvah is limited to Shas Masa Mitzvah, or whether the Hidr Mitzvah can persist beyond the Shas Hidur Mitzvah, the Shas Masa Mitzvah. And that is how the Brisker Rav explained that the Rambam and the Ramah interpreted the Mahadrin of Chanukah in different ways. Alright? There is a third Mahalach that we have in the Sfarim, and that is, as we began, the Mahalach of the Beis Halevi, that the Hidur Mitzvah of Chanukah is different than other Hidurim and should not be compared, against Rabbi Chanan. There's a possible source, I've seen this in a few places, my son Mati pointed this out as well, that the Rashi on in the Gemara in Shabbos, when the Gemara says, Ner Mitzvah Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beise, Vehamehadrin, Ner Lekolech Veyechon, so Lashon of Rashi is a Mahadrin Achar HaMitzvahs, as opposed to HaMahadrin BaMitzvahs. So Mahadrin Achar HaMitzvahs might mean those who run after mitzvahs. So it could be that Rashi is pointing out that, could be, that the Hidur Mitzvah, that when we use the phrase of Mahadrin in the context of Chanukah, itak is different. And again, there's a whole body of literature from the Beis HaLevi on as to why why Ner Chanukah should be different, right? The Ha'aras, the Beis Halevi, the Maaseh are not limited to this Mahalach, because even if you say like the Brisker Rav that the Mahadrin of Chanukah is the same like every other Hidur Mitzvah, nevertheless, when it comes to the Hidur Mitzvah of Chanukah, it is universally accepted. And Mahadrin and Mahadrin are certainly different than most mitzvahs may have a Hidur, but I don't know if you have a Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And what's even more surprising with Tzorchi and Godel is that the Shulchan Aruch does not quote Ner Ish Ubeisei. Shulchan Aruch never quotes the basic mitzvah, only quotes, what do? We light The Ramah records that there's a basic mitzvah of Ner Ish Ubeisei. Comes up in situations of dachtus, and we'll discuss that today also. Situations where we go back to the Ikar mitzvah. All right. So Ad Kan Divrei Agriz. Correct. We're good. So now we're going to learn another classic of Hilchas Chanukah, and hopefully at the end, when we learn this classic, then we will see how Rabbi Akiva Eiger's understanding of the halacha lamasa is impacted by the Brisker Rav. Okay, so let's learn obviously Rabbi Akiva Eiger was long before the Brisker Rav. Rabbi Akiva was in the 1700s. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was one of the greatest goyim in the Klal Yisrael ever had. The Luyus of Rabbi Akiva Eiger was phenomenal. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's, the phenomenon of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is indicated because he became part of a metaphor in Klal Yisrael. Like if a person they saw a young prodigy, they would say, maybe he can become Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That was the part of the metaphor of Klal Yisrael. That, or could be they would say, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he won't become. That could also be something that people would say sometimes. So he was the one of the greatest intellects of Klal Yisrael, a razor sharp mind. Just a few weeks ago, this is total trivia, one of the museums in Europe, in the area where he was born, his name was not Eiger, his name was Ganz. His birth name was Ganz, but his mother's father was a Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And when he was born, they called him after the mother's father, Rabbi Akiva. And the mother's father was one of the Gedolei Yisrael at that time. And I believe it's at one point the Rabbi Kiva Eger that we are familiar with took the position of the grant. I'm not sure, but because the Eger was more prominent than Ganz, then he took on the name Eger. So there are Jews, there are Egers and Ginzes, or all descendants of Rabbi Kiva Eger. I remember I came across once a Ganz who was a descendant, and very recently I came across an Eger that was also a descendant. Years and years ago, I was once stuck in the Bronx, on the Cross Bronx, and I got towed to a station, and the station was called Eger's Car Service. So I was, of course, very concerned that I was going to get robbed blind out of here. So trying to make sense, so I said to him, "You know, Eger's an important name." He said, "I know. I'm a famous rabbi." So he claimed to be a descendant of the famous rabbi. So he said, trying to put me at ease. He says, "Don't worry, I would never rob a customer the first time. I don't have to come back. The second time is what I'll take advantage of." So maybe Taka was a descendant. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, they just discovered the wimple of Rabbi Kiva Eger. He was born into the Yekesha community. So one of the museums, there was a Jew who was just going through a museum in Western Europe, and he was, for some reason, decided to unroll one of the wimples. You know what a wimple is? The German Jewish minhag that when a child is three, German Jews don't bring children to the shul until they're three usually. And so the first time the child comes to shul, they would have a ceremony. What was the ceremony? That when the child was born, and the child was brought to the bris, so they, on top of the pillow, under the baby, they would buy a piece of linen to put it under the baby. And that piece of linen, after the bris, the mother and the mother's friends would then sew that piece of cloth into a long band, like a long belt. And they would embroider it with the name of the baby and with the date of birth and with the bracha for the baby. The first time the child comes to the shul, and the child's three, they had a different neschois. Some had the child would bring this band, and others would actually wrap it around the child. And then the father would get hagba, and the child, they would take the band off the baby and wrap the, and that became the gartel for the Sefer Torah. And I say, in German Jewish shuls, you have wimples. They don't have clasps. They have the bands. And then, obviously, they have a lot of them for every kid. So they would, one of the jobs of the gabbai in a German Jewish shul is to rotate the wimples. So we have a big box in the shul of wimples. And then a special occasion, the child's bar mitzvah, they make sure to use that child's wimple. So they said, so apparently, somebody just discovered the wimple of Rabbi Kiva Eger. He had, and apparently one of the curiosities is that the moel of Rabbi Kiva Eger kept a book. Most moel do this, a log of all the babies that they mouth. So he logged that the babies, that Rabbi Kiva Eger's bris was on a Friday. And the mother embroidered the wimple that the baby was born, I think, on a Wednesday. So there are three possibilities, right? One, that the mother got the birth date wrong, not so likely, right? Number two, that the four possibilities, that the moel got the date wrong, also not like an Erev Shabbos bris, if I remember, right? So it could be the baby was born in a Shmoshes. So the mother used the earlier date, but the moel has to use the later date. Can't do a suffix 8th day. Or it could be a question that the baby's bris was postponed. So then there's a machlok I mentioned the other day, whether you do a postponed bris on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because you don't do elective surgery Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So machlok is tazen shach. So taka the yekesh amaylam are makbid not to do postponed brisin on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So this could be a possible raya that they passed it otherwise. So so that's the so at Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's hard for us to appreciate the status Rabbi Akiva Eiger had because it's a little bit lost. But certainly before the Second World War, and even after, I still remember that the European rebellion, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger for them was the measures of genius. And the Rabbi is responsible for the Gilyan Ashas. So that's also indicative of the status he has in Klal Yisrael. Gilyan means margin. So many people have marginal glosses. And there are, for example, Rabbi Yisrael Engel had Gilyane Ashas, the Gilyan Ashas of Rabbi Yisrael Engel. Many, many Svarim. People wrote in the margins, so they would be published. Rabbi Akiva Eiger earned the status of being called the Gilyan Ashas, the marginal gloss of Klal Yisrael. That's why it's called the Gilyan Ashas. And you will find many Svarim that have a Gilyan Ashas, a Gilyan from Akiva Eiger. Achrayim, as long as if he wrote on the side, whatever he wrote became Savior and Kodesh. And the Gilyan Ashas is Kashas that he had. And that was part of a game in pre-war yeshivas to try to either try to answer Akiva Eiger or try to show any answer he could have given, Akiva Eiger would have rejected. It was different yeshivas, different approaches, either to try to answer or to use Akiva Eiger's kashas or raya that any answer you could have given would not be a good answer. There are people who have written svarim. There's Rabbi Shapansky wrote a sefer with several svarim on just on thinking out the Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kashas. So, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is a classic in Hilchos Chanukah and a classic in Halacha Bechlal. We began this yesterday. The question that is raised is a person, I had this almost Halacha L'maisa last night. Right? That person's lighting Neres Chanukah and comes to the eighth, and it happens to the eighth day, because it's more dramatic, and he forgot to make the brachas. So he's holding by the last candle on the last day of Chanukah. So does he make a bracha then? So the Gemara says, so the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that the end of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, for the sake of clarity, the end of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that he thinks they can make a bracha. Why is that? So he gives three reasons. B'tzeirav hanisvaros, number one, the Eliyahu Rabba, that we do make brachas in Hidur Mitzvah. Number two, the Rosh came in the Mikra Shiri Mitzvah. There is a halacha, you always make a brachas in Mitzvah right before doing the bracha, right before doing the Mitzvah. But the Rosh says, if it is a Mitzvah which lingers, a lingering Mitzvah, it's called Shiri Mitzvah. For example, Tefillin. A person forgot to put on, forgot to say the bracha when he put on the Tefillin. B'shas Hanochas Tefillin. He can still make a bracha because the Tefillin are still on him. Person forgot to make the bracha b'shas atifa sitzis. He can still make the bracha. Person put the tefillin on before the chiyuv, before the mitzvah tefillin. So he can make a bracha afterwards. We have a chumra to move the tefillin around a little bit, to touch the tefillin, machloikas. So you can make the bracha that's called shiyoi mitzvah. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that we should, that's the second reason why this Jew can still make the bracha, because halakas aneiros is a lingering mitzvah. It's ad shetichle regel min ashuk. You still make kind of the mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says it's not exactly the same. What's the difference between the lingering aspect of tefillin and the lingering aspect of Ner Chanukah?
You already had said for the first candle.
Right. In other words, the lingering aspect of tefillin, there's still an ongoing kiyum mitzvah, kol zaman, that you're wearing tefillin.
That's why you said that you do it first.
But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, kovsa ein zokukla, right? If it gets snuffed out, when you light the candle, there has to be enough oil for 30 minutes. For achetichle regla shok. If something happens and it goes out, you're not mukhiv to relight it. So Rabbi Kivager says, my second reason is sketchy, right? It's not the, why do I present it? Because the Rosh did compare tefillin, tzitzis, and Ner Chanukah. So he says, even though Yeshli Pikpukim, if you can actually connect them, but the Rosh did connect them, and called them as Yesh Meishiyah. Third, is that there are Shitas which say one is allowed to make a bracha when it's not Orvel Siyosan. Yom Rishonim will say, we pass an Orvel Siyosan. But the Yom Rishonim will say that you can make a bracha even after doing the mitzvah. We adopt that Shita by Natil and Sidayim. We adopt that Shita by Tvila. Because the Gemara says if you can make the bracha in a better state, why make it in a shvacher state? Right, so the Rebbe Kivager says, I have three reasons why I would tell this person he can make a bracha. All right? We're concerned mostly with the first. He writes, Ulam, im kaidem dehidlik neiris anaisafois, kovu arishainais. Then Hadrinan Lipsoka de Rabvosa Nal. However, if one of my conditions for my psak is not there, it's a classic tshuva. Tshuva, three snifim lahokel. Normally, something brach is lahokel. I make brach is something. He has three snifim, three reasons why he could make a bracha. And he said, however, if one of my snifim falls away, l'mashal, before he gets a chance to make the bracha on the eighth light, the first seven lights blow out. Not a good day for luck as an issue, this guy. So then you're missing snif number two. So this is then, I can't be makel then. Then it's a machlekes rishonim. Machlekes achrayinim, whether you make a bracha in Hidur, and sofek bracha is lahakim. All right? Good. So now, that's the psak. So the... the excitement of knowing what the Inner Sefer is going to be is taken away. It's like, you read the last line of the novel. But now, we're trying to zero in on this nekuda. How do we make a bracha on the Hidur mitzvah? But we're using this issue of whether you can make a bracha on the Hidur to understand in a deeper way our practice of Hidur mitzvah. All right, that's what we're trying to understand. So you'll see how. Rabbi Kivager says, you've seen the tshuva already, so let's just highlight that which we want to be ma'ayin into. Rabbi Kivager says, the af. The first part of the tshuva is the bracha shechiyanu and the bracha she'asanisim. So let's not get involved in that right now. So he says, this is our sugya. Person lit the first candle without a bracha. Now he's going on to candle 2, 3, and 4. So he's done the mitzvah already. The Mashem Moisif and Neir Shrek Machmas Hahidr Mitzvah to Leishach Lebaruch Alav. There's no, you can't make a bracha. There's a machloikis we showed him that you can make a bracha on Ahminot. Lechaira, this is what Achrayim said, I'm not sure I accept this, Lenin is deity, that a Hidr Mitzvah is less than a minute. Not so partial, because Hidden Mitzvah has a root in the Raisa. But he says, Achle Inyan, when it comes to Hidr, the Mashem Moisif and Neiris, Leshach Levarachala. Chazal would not misakin a bracha for this Hidden Mitzvah. All right? Ve'ein Lahavi Raya. Don't bring me a Raya that we can make a bracha on Hidden Mitzvah. Because every single home that lights Neiris Hanukkah, after the balabais is lit, all the subsequent menorahs are hider mitzvah, and our minhag is everybody's making a brach on it. All right? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, don't tell me that's the raya that Klal Yisrael passing and make a brach on hider mitzvah. No, why? After medina nerishu beisav inoch mechlala mahadrim ze'enoi deshayni osam kevin der tzoyner liyos meya mahadrim. How do we light our menorahs? We light our menorahs because when we light our menorah, we have in mind that we are not being yotzei with the balabayas who's lighting the menorah. And then we become mechuyav midina. And Iveger says, even though you'll tell me that they don't teach us in Yeshiva Ketana to have in mind Shaloi Lotzeis, right? So we don't send out in the Shul bulletins, make the following brachas, and have in mind not to be Yotzei. He says, but everybody's there knows they're going to light the menorah. So they know they're going to do the mitzvah. And they know that's their mitzvah. So even if you don't have explicitly in mind Shaloi Lotzeis, all right? So there are. So this is a. Well, let's focus on this. On this comment, Rabbi Kiva Eger is saying that there's the machlokes of whether you make a bracha on hider mitzvah. How does that come up? It comes up in two situations. Rabbi Kiva Eger says. Situation number one is where a person is holding by the eighth candle on the eighth day, and has not yet made the bracha. Or it could be a person who lit seven candles on the eighth day and now wants to light another candle. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says those two are real issues of whether you make a bracha or a mitzvah. But the issue which goes on, b'chol bayis u'bayis, do we make a bracha when we light our menorahs, even though that's hider mitzvah? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that is not this issue. Okay, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Eiger? Why is that? Let me take issue with that chiddush. Go ahead.
And even if you don't have, since you're planning on doing the mitzvah by yourself, it's obvious that you are not being rooting in the first place.
Right. But that is accurate, no? Right. That is a mistake.
That's a
good. All that's saying is that what's going on in everybody's mind is, this is my mitzvah. No, Lior?
If the issue of the mitzvah is that it's chumah habayit, then the first candle should be
yotzei
no matter what.
Yeah, does your das really matter? Right, does your das really matter? Person puts a mezuzah up. You have your three guys in an apartment. One guy puts a mezuzah up. All right. So now, is there such a concept of saying, "Well, I had in mind not to be yotzei with you putting a mezuzah in the house, and therefore I put a male mezuzah." It's not shaya. The mezuzah up there. You mean kind of the mitzvah. This is it comes up in the situation where a guy gets either he's late in traveling or he gets stuck in work or whatever happens, he asks his wife, his wife lights the menorah for him. Can he light the menorah when he gets back home? So halacha l'maisa, we follow him here. We say, have in mind not to be yotzei if you want. It's up to you. Right? But Shulchan Aruch does not seem to say that. Shulchan Aruch seems to say that this guy was yetzer mitzvah. He cannot make a bracha. Shulchan Aruch says he cannot make a bracha if his wife littered it. It's a machlokes poskim whether we follow this psak of Shulchan Aruch. If my wife lit for me, right, so again, most svarim will say, if my wife lit for me and I didn't think about it, then I was mekayem the mitzvah. If she lit for me and I had it in mind that I'm going to light later on, like Miki Beger says, but this is a chiddush. The chiddush is this chiddush of whether you can have das not to be yotze is. Comes up halacha lemaisa numerous times. For example, when one says kriyishma at the beginning of davening, right? You say kriyishma in the kabbos omal chushmaim after karbonis, before karbonis, right? You know what I'm talking about? You say shema yisrael at the beginning of davening. Right? So, l'chora, that's not the best practice. We mekayem the mitzvah kriyat shema seder brachos. So now, but you said kriyat shema, you mekayem the deraisa already. So you mekayem the deraisa, and now you're going to get now you're going to lose out on being mekayem the deraisa of kriyat shema in the way Chazal envisioned. Right? Somebody composed something tkus hagoyim. There's a point in time when Jews, there was a gzeira that we couldn't say Shema. So somebody slipped it up, so the Gaonim say, slip in the beginning of davening, you'll say Shema, you'll be Yaitse. But now that we don't have that gzeira against us, so now we end up saying Shema, Shaloy al Seder HaBrachos. And our Shema later on is Odomah Karvatar. So the advice in most Svarim is, well, when you know, when you're saying the earlier Shema that you're going to say a later Shema. Right? So if it's Shabbos and you're davening in Minyan, that'll get the later Shema after Zman Kriya Shema, then you have in mind. But if it's not that situation, so you have in mind, so in the Chachmei Brisk, not the original, the recent Chachmei Brisk, have raised a suffix. Does that really work? A Mekabel O Malchus Shemaim. So can I say, but I'm not doing the mitzvah. I'm reading. I'm saying Shema Yisrael. I know what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm a kavul ol malchus shemayim. So is it shayach to say that I have in mind that this shouldn't be my mitzvah? Hechetaisen. What did Kodesh Baruch Hu say that you can determine whether you Kodesh Baruch Hu counted as a mitzvah or not? Like Rabbanu Shalom decided if you want to count as a mitzvah or not. Right? So how can I say to Rabbanu Shalom, wait up, this is not my mitzvah Shema? Most of them say you can do it. Rabbi Kibeger says he can do it. But a lot of the briskers say, don't get it. Don't understand how this works. And are very, very hesitant. And would rather not to say the Shema at the beginning so as not to mess up saying Shema al-Brachas later on. And when you think about it, I find the brisk mouth very compelling over here. I have difficulty with this idea of Rabbi Kibeger. That I can say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is not my mitzvah. Now it could be by mitzvah Rabbanan is different. Chazal put it in the place, could be. But there's a chiddush over here. That Rabbi Kibeger says if person that the way the mitzvah works, right? The way the mitzvah works is that when Chazal said there is a Mahadrin, they were also saying that Rabbi Kibeger is not arguing. As we discussed yesterday, that Chazal switches from a mitzvah Shema Bayis to Shema Gufa. Rabbi Akiva Eger is arguing that a person has the ability to say, even though this would be a bona fide mitzvah to Rabbanan, I can say, not Mekabel. It's a chiddush. A well accepted chiddush. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger, as Rabbi Akiva Eger has said before. Is icon status in Klal Yisrael before they had icon status. Go ahead, as we were saying before.
So, according to the briskers who say that you shouldn't say Shema before,
yeah.
What if you didn't say, let's say, Birkat HaTorah in the morning?
Yeah.
So would you still be able to say that Shema because it's for the mitzvah, not just reading the pasuk from Torah?
So, again, if one didn't say Birchas Torah, then could one?
Then you shouldn't be reading Pesukim, but if it's for
right.
Shema, then you would think, oh, you could say Shema because you're not.
Right,
you're not learning
right,
Torah, you're just doing
right.
Mitzvah, so...
So
would they say that you may still read that Shema before Pesukei Dezimra?
If he didn't say Birchas Torah, that would argue the other way around. That would make it harder to say, because then my earlier Kriya Shema couldn't just be a Kriya B'Torah. That makes it harder.
If you're not doing it for Talmud Torah, then...
Right, then they do it for the Mitzvah. So it makes it harder to justify
repeating it.
Yeah. Veggie.
Does the Birchas Mahalach include mitzvot al tanai in this category? Like if I say Sfirat HaOmer, like before Tzedakah Chavim, so al-tanai.
Yeah, Briskos are very, very uncomfortable with that, correct. Yeah. You're counting, right? So, now... By Kriya Shema is particularly concerning because there the mitzvah is kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, right? In other words, the mahalach of most of the svarim that the briskers take issue with is since ideally mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, so I can decide not to have kavana now for this mitzvah. So when it comes to Sfiras Omer, it's not as keen a concern because I don't have a mind of the mitzvah right now. When it comes to Kriya Shema, it's harder because the mitzvah is mekabel omach shemayim. So I've done that. So now I'm saying I'm mekabel omach shemayim, but what? But I don't have to count. That's a little bit harder, right?
I'm accepting omach shemayim, before Zman, and then when I say
Kriyat Shema
later, it's during Zman.
No, if it's before the Zman, then I understand that. But it's not before the Zman. If it's before the Zman, Echanami, that would be perfect. But that's the question. Is it, how far do you take the idea of Kavan and a Mitzvah? Can Kavan and a Mitzvah even suggest that I can have, that my negative Kavanah would work? Right. But again, Ricky Baker says that. But I want you to appreciate what Ricky Baker is pointing out. He's saying that I want to discuss whether you make a bracha al hider mitzvah. So he's saying, how do we explain? What I want to discuss is how do we understand our halakas haneris b'chol laila v'laila. So if you're lighting at home with your parents, or you're lighting at home, you're lighting in an apartment with other guys, so the first guy who lights it, there's no question what kind of mitzvah. Our practice to continue lighting with the bracha, where does it come from? So the one answer to Bekiva Eger, even though there's a chiddush involved, there's another fascinating classic answer by Rav Yaakov Emden in the Moruk Tziyan. He says that the bracha on Hadlokas and Ner Chanukah is a different kind of bracha. He says the bracha is an essential part of the mitzvah. Because what makes lighting candles into Pesumei Nisa? Especially in the olden days when they used to light candles in order to have candles for light. Right? The first night of Chanukah. Tell me, who lights eight candles? But the first night of Chanukah, you light one candle. So, before electricity, you're lighting a candle. What makes that candle? That we're going to sing most through afterward. That the whole family's around watching light the candle. What makes it into a mitzvah? What makes it into Pesumei Nisa? The emes is that you can light a candle in the exact same place you light a candle every single day, and you would call it a Halakas Neiros. You could light Neiros on your Shabbos candelabra. So what makes him to Pesumei Nisa? The bracha. So he says the bracha is part of the Pesumei Nisa. The fantastic raya for the for Rabbi Yaakov Emden is that there's a Masechta Sofer that says that when it says Haneiros Halalu, in between the bracha of Lahadlik and the bracha of Shas Hanisa. The bracha of Lahadlik, don't do anything. Neiros Halalu, Shas Hanisim, Shechayanu, then you light. So, all of a sudden, it's a huge hefsek. So it's a gvaldik araya, because you want to point out I'm being doing pierce and nice right now. This bracha is different. This bracha is not only a bracha mitzvah. This bracha is the shem yichud kudshu v'richu. This bracha is part of the psuim nisa. Without this bracha, would be lighting a candle. He, this is the sefer says it. That's not our practice. Our practice is. And then we say there's all afterward. Was that?
I'm gonna make sense because the Christmas, especially yesteryear, was not at that book.
Why not?
Because people seem.
No, but you have to do a massive piercing and ness. You're being a fire sinner. When you flick the switch and the sign goes on, the flicking of the switch is the Maisa Mitzvah. Later on, the people see it. Well,
people on the street see the same thing looking into your window.
What's that?
People on the street will see the same thing looking into your window.
Correct. The only thing which makes this into... That's correct. Yeah. So what makes it into a person and ness?
Wouldn't it make sense to actually change the mindset as opposed to giving a bracha? Because the bracha is not seen by the people. It's not person and ness.
I mean, kasha is a good kasha, but this is the mice with Chazal did. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that when Chazal established this mitzvah with all of its hidurim, they had to attach the bracha to every form of this mitzvah. So even if I decide I'm going to do the mahadrin, that means Chazal attached a bracha to that mahadrin. It's ke'ilu Chazal said, Ner ish uveisai, mevorchen u ner ish uveisai, v'amahadrin mevorchen l'chol echem yechad. V'amahadrin mevorchen l'chol yom v'yom. It's part of the part. It's an essential part of the mitzvah. So it has to be an essential part of the Hidur mitzvah. B'kivei Eger's mahalach, and each one is mechudishtik, each one you have to work out the svar, it's not so pashut. Good. Good. Good, Lior.
Second Shofar that said that you put Haner Halalu between the Birka Mitzvah and Ohan Nisim.
Yeah.
Which one is it modifying? Meaning, which one is the one that makes it Birka Mitzvah?
I would assume the whole Tekes, all of them. The whole presentation. That's what I would assume.
And when everyone likes
in other words, I agree with you that any one of them could have done the job. But Chazal decided to do it this way. Go ahead.
So when everyone lights their own menorah, shouldn't they only say they like Allah Nisim?
According to this Masechta Sofer. According to this Masechta Sofer, yeah. It could be. But we don't follow the Masechta Sofer. Just for me it's a raya that you see from the fact that Chazal had a greater tolerance for Oyver L'Siyosan, that this bracha is different than other brachas. Alright. Look, I mean, if you would follow the Masechta Sofer, then maybe things would be different. We don't follow it. Go ahead, Zev.
So according to the people that don't believe in anti-Kabbalah, and then also according to the way that we understand, if there's no bracha specifically for the Hidur Mitzvah, so then how would one be Mekayim, Mahadrim and Mahadrim?
Correct. That's the problem.
So would it have to be that everyone did at the exact same time? But
Mamashtam perfectly coordinated.
Right, without, meaning
everyone's like... family of Yekas. Bracha, and then... what do you do for the Eastern European Jews, though? And then it's not going to happen, no?
Yeah, it has to be the exact same second. It can't be within, like, a Tov or something like that. Meaning it has to be...
3 seconds.
That would not work.
You have to start... I have to start before that guy finishes. Like Be'edus. And Kasha's a good Kasha. And again, what Zeb's pointing out is that... we haven't fully answered the question. You know, we haven't satisfactorily answered the question, because we have big chidushim over here. When I light my menorah after there's already one that's being lit, so we'll have to say, like Rashi, and not that much unlike the Yaakov Emden, that this Hidur mitzvah is different than other Hidur mitzvah. And here, there is a bracha for it, right? That's one possibility. The other possibilities are Kiveger, right? L'charve, there is a third possibility. That's a third possibility, is that if you take the Brisker Rub's approach, that a Heder mitzvah has to be an extension of the mitzvah itself, not after the mitzvah's done already, right? If you take the Brisker Rub's approach in the Rambam, it's difficult. The Brisker Rub's approach in the Rambam, which led the Rambam to say that only the Madlik. Perhaps we could say a little bit differently. Perhaps we could say that the Heder mitzvah is that the pirsuma ness of the home is enhanced. Right? The different ways to be mefarsim ness. One is neri shubesa, lighting a candle. Everybody walks by, sees a candle, knows chanukah. Right? There's another way to be mefarsim ness. There are 10 guys in this home who still believe in Hanukkah. Right? Go through a neighborhood and you say, look, take a census of how many guys are celebrating Hanukkah. Mefarsim, a different angle of the Ness. Mefarsim, the adherence to the Ness. Those who are impacted by the Ness. That's also a person of Ness. The numbers of people who are giving Hoidoya for the Ness. Right, that's certainly gives cover to the nest, right? Then another way to mafarsim the mitzvah, and that is that in this home there are 10 people who are celebrating the first day, the second day, eighth day. Right? That there are 10 people who are keeping alive a story of such a long time ago. So Chazal said it's a mitzvah labayis. So you can have a little mezuzah, you can have a family size mezuzah, or you can have a trophy mezuzah. You have different, you walk around, you see sometimes he's, right? So you can have a pirsum anes, right, you can have the guys who are want to help out the campaign. They have the guys with a little sign, right, because they were pushed into it by the canvassers. Then you have the guys who are real Republicans, Democrats, so they put up 5 signs, a huge sign. Then you have the person whose son is running for the position. So they have like 20 signs all over the place, right? So they really want this guy to win. So the way that the home looks does impact the personness which the first person began. When the Baal HaBayis lit the menorah, so everybody else is continuing that personness, bringing it up to a higher madrega. All right. So in this case, we're saying that the bracha is not simply on. It's not saying that my esrog is a nicer esrog, and not saying that my tzitzis are thick wool tzitzis. So therefore, it's a heder mitzvah. I think the way that the pirsum and nes that chazal or misakein is being carried out now in a significantly different way than it was before. So this particular heder does earn its own bracha. It's built on the idea that the Brisker Rav said that there's a mahalach that heder mitzvah only makes sense in the context of the maisa mitzvah. So it turns out that the Balabayas' mitzvah is enhanced by everybody's halacha. Because he's not only lighting one menorah, he's now part of a maimed, part of a much bigger matzav. So, since the purpose of the mitzvah is pursuing Nisa, by Esrog we're supposed to do a pre-Ein Tzadar. So, it's hard to say that because the Esrog is larger, so now I've magnified the purpose of the mitzvah. I've given more kavod to the mitzvah, more excitement to the mitzvah. When it comes to Pirsum and Nes, so here the fundamental idea of Pirsum and Nes is to publicize the Nes. So by more and more people addressing different aspects of the Nes, it in fact goes back to the very purpose of the mitzvah and enhances, not just enhances, but actually changes the degree of person that's happening, changes the nature of the person. So that's why in this case it would make sense, one could suggest along the lines of Yaakov Emden, that in this case it makes sense to say a bracha on this heder. As we said before.
Going back to the Brisker of Rabbi Akiva Eger again, I was wondering if Shema might be different, because the whole key of Shema is the Kavanah, but Hanukkah is just the action. So
correct.
You know, you don't need to generalize the Shema one, you should just, they could still agree with it.
Right. So I think that distinction is a valid distinction. I think there are those who, I can't put names to it, who accept that distinction. But I think there are others who see it as a much broader issue, whether there can be kavana al tanai. All right,
the idea that you were just saying before that the whole mitzvah should have pirsum. Then how does that explain the halacha that if the candles blow out very quickly, you don't need to relay them?
Because Chazal were mesakein that there's a ma'isa mitzvah lefarsem. Right? If you go back to the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos says that kovam lahalal lehidoya, and Rashi says to say halal and hadlokas aneris. Right, so Chazal said that my pirsum and nes is my way of giving shevach vaydoya. Pirsum and nes is not the mitzvah per se. Chazal didn't say that I should go. Okay, I'm going to say now is a little bit inaccurate, and I'll refine in a moment. Chazal didn't say that I should take out ads in the paper and talk about Ner Chanukah. Right? They didn't give me a mitzvah pirsum per se. They gave me a mitzvah shevach vaydoya. They told me that one of the ways in which I give hoydoya to Ribbono Shalom is by publicizing. Yodu Lashem Chazdoy Misapun Devlaosu Le'adam. One of the ways that you give hoydoya is by publicizing the event. One of the ways a person wants to give hoydoya makes a birchas al goyim, it has to be rabbi. Person wants to give a yidah to Hashem, he may decide to make a suddas mitzvah. One of the ways of giving haidoya is by telling a person at a neis. So one of the ways of giving haidoya is is by sharing with other people. That's the way of giving thanks. Halacha l'maisa, right? When a less cynical way of looking at organizations when they're honoring people, right? The cynical way is, and probably more a mystical way, is that they want to raise money, right? But every so often, you come across a situation where they want to thank a person for the work that they did, right? Right. And so why make a dinner? Send them a letter. Give them a phone call. But the fact is that when one wants to give thanks, so giving thanks for Rabbim is something which is enhances the expression of our karzatai. Call it a part of human nature, whatever it is. Because Baruch Hu said, Yodu Lashem Chazdei, so coming back to Lior's question, so now I want to give, because Chazal said give shevach. How do you give shevach? By doing an act of piercing. Exactly how many people see this and how long they see it, that's not my job. My job is to create a moment where I'm committed to give Haidoya via Pirsumines. If, now it's true, Chazal could have said that you're Mechuyiv, that this Pirsum should be half hour long. They could have said that the Pirsum should reach X number of people. He could have said it. A Mechuyiv to every day speak to 10 people about the next Hanukkah. They chose otherwise. They chose to make it a mitzvah of a moment, which will then generate a person for the next Ashatichla regular Shuk. But why do they do it that way? So Lanias Daiti, because they wanted to emphasize my Hodoy Terbon Shul. Didn't want to emphasize that I'm actually reaching X number of people. They wanted to emphasize that this moment I have a Karas HaTayim on Yishev Toshem. How do I do it? Although they are Maisa person. So the mice, so therefore that's why Chazal made it into a mice mitzvah of kovsa ein zokukla. That is the machlokes. When the Gemara debates with a kovsa zokukla or kovsa ein zokukla, that's what they're arguing about. They're arguing about, did Chazal make the halakas ner Chanukah as a mice mitzvah, or did they make it as a mitzvah? I don't have a good phrase for mitzvah kiyumas. They make it the way the Sochachim Rebbe says that, not in this context, they make it a maisa mitzvah or a pu'ula, a nifal. You have to have a certain impact. I'll tell you that if you're only in Mekinah, you have a certain impact. But that's the machlokes. So since we paskin kovsa ein zakula, we paskin them into a maisa mitzvah. Now it's not entirely accurate, because we do find that there are other practices of Pirsum Ines. The Haftarah, we're going to say the Shabbos. Why do you have a Haftarah for Chanukah Haftarah? The Chiv Haftarah is because of Shabbos. Chanukah is not Machayev Haftarah. Maraya, you didn't have to make Haftarah this morning. Right? So Haftarah is a Shabbos ticket then. So why are we having a special Shabbos? I mean, there's a little bit of a kash by Shabbos Rosh Chodesh also, and then two reasons for it. Mocha Chodesh, there are two reasons for it. So, Shonim explain, because there is an aspect of Pirsum Anes. The Haftarah is for Pirsum Anes. So you see from that there is, in addition to Neres Chanukah, sometimes Chazal established a Lagabi Chanukah, right? That might be the basis for the minhag of lighting the menorah and shul. That's a minhag. Not me needed a Gemara. But it might be the same thing. That Right, that's a debate whether when Chabad has these large menorahs, is that a nice thing to do, or is it actually a kiyum in Pirsum HaNes? So it depends how you understand the Pirsum HaNes of the Aftar. Were Chazal Mesakin that it's good Lefarsim HaNes even outside of the menorah? Alright, that is a good thing. Then it might be a kiyum mitzvah. If you say no, Chazal and a din of Malachis Neres, then they had another din, Pirsum HaNes. But then there is no din of a Pirsum HaNes. Then it's a nice thing. Connects Jews, but it's not a kiyum mitzvah.
Right.
Why would you not have an additional bracha on Jigar Mitzvah? Why would you make the same bracha on the bare minimum of one candle versus wedding on that? But that would mean having two brachas on every halakhs and eras. Yeah, which we do have. We have Shas
Nisim. So you're saying you make Shas Nisim if you light one candle,
right?
Bare minimum. Let's say you light per night. Why would you, on the eighth night, if you light eight candles?
Yeah,
you
light I don't know. I don't know if that's a kasha. We do find that Chazal will use a nusach of a bracha and use it for several purposes. The mashal, the bracha of l'hadlik neshabbos is also a form of Kabbalah Shabbos. Or the run rice in Kiddushin, that the birchas Kiddushin is a birchas as a birchas shavach, or the Iran, he writes, the Rosh writes that it's a nusach and birchas shavach, but it's a no, the Rambam, it's a nusach and birchas shavach, but it's for the purpose of birchas and mitzvah. So we do find that once Chazal have brachas, they sometimes will employ those brachas for all the things that have to be done. Yeah, I'm not sure it's a kasha. Chazal were not were hesitant to be marbe with brachas. Kriyeh goes on to point out, so he says that everything we discussed until now does not satisfy this particular issue. Right? Now, why? Because he says, what we said until now is that the way that we should understand our common practice of making a bracha when we're doing the Hidur Mitzvah, so we're going to have at least four ways to explain that practice. One would be give Eger. I have in mind not to be Yates until I light my own. We have Yaakov Emden, that the bracha is unique because it is part of the Pirsum HaNes. We have a Mahalach based on the Brisker Rav that I believe some of the Talmidim have furthered and said that this Hidur Mitzvah is different based on the Brisker Rav's understanding of the Rambam, but applying it to the Brisker Rav's understanding of the Rambam, that the Pirsum HaNes is accomplished in a different way, and therefore it does deserve a bracha. We'll give a mashal, I'll give you a beautiful mashal for this. Two mashal. One is that by bris we make two brachas. Right? One bracha is lachnis and lebris and shalom avinu, and one bracha is Alamila, right? Because there are two aspects of the bracha that Chazal want us to focus on. When it comes to tefillin, so if a person puts on tefillin before the zman, then after the zman, he memashmish b'tefillin and he makes the bracha. So the Rav would explain why is he memashmish b'tefillin. So some say put out of place, over the Yosem and back into place. And the Rav said, no, the Mimashmash does not mean put out of place, it means you touch your tefillin. So he said, because there are two kiyumim in tefillin. One is the mitzvah, and one is the ongoing awareness that I'm wearing a Dover Kodesh. So he says that the bracha of over the Yosem is done. You can't do it anymore. The mitzvah is there. What I can do is take another kiyum, a mitzvah, the awareness of the kedusha of tefillin, and I can use the bracha that would normally be used as a birchas hamitzvah over lasi yosan, and make it a birchas hamitzvah over lasi as this kiyum. So similarly, what we're saying over here is since the pirsum hanes of individual people in the home like Madeira actually enhances the mitzvah, it's like this other kima mitzvah. Gets his own bracha. So Bechiveger says that that's what we want to point out. Bechiveger then goes on to question his own chiddush. What was his own chiddush? Again, Bechiveger's tshuva is about the individual person who's holding by doing his individual inner mitzvah, and for some reason he didn't say the original bracha. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, however, I want to distinguish this from the obvious case of what goes on in every single home where a person makes the bracha. Good? So then he says that, because they have a mind to make, but then he says, I have a kasha. Okay? Rabbi Kiva Eger, I have a kasha. What's my kasha? When I light my menorah, so, let's say the first person in the home who lights his menorah, he makes a bracha. It's called good. Everything when he lights the first candle, he's neri shabbos, the kind of the ikur mitzvah. What about candle 2, 3, and 4? It's what? It's a heater mitzvah, correct? So, the Rambam writes, no gubaner is Chanukah. Shalei l'adlik afilu miner l'ner. V'mogen Avram shom d'biner echon sagi. Right? V'hod v'kol mokam came in a ritzoni l'tzeis v'ad l'kosei shal zeh heima m'chuyovim v'idinim ad loka. Have a ner Chanukah mamish v'tzorach yin gadol. Says we have a din. The Ramah writes that you can't take the light from one ner to light. You are allowed to take the light from one ner and light another candle with it. But likin ner Chanukah miner Chanukah. All right. V'dav. Why is that? Because all the same mitzvah. Good? So the Mogen Avraham says, Kilaymar. No, I missed the line, sorry. So that was the Mechaber. Rimah. V'nogu l'hachmer b'neiris Chanukah, sh'loy l'hadlik afilu miner l'ner. We're knowing not to light, to use a Shamus, and not to light candle 2 from candle 1. Mechaber says you can light candle 2 from 1, 3 from 2, b'chule, b'chule. The Ramah says we're not allowed to do that. Why? The ikur mitzvosi ein ele ner echad, v'ashor ein ele mitzvah kol kach, l'chein ein malikin zeh mizeh. All right. So he says, Rabbi Kiveger says that what I just said, mehai time of koshali, v'nogu v'neris Chanukah, shaloi l'adlik, afilu miner l'ner. We are knowing not to light one from the other. Why? Because the v'ner echad sagi l'kol hanei abayis. Because one candle was good. Right? The two, the Rambam writes that. The ikar mitzvah en el ner echad. V'shar ein l'mitzvah kol kach. So it's not b'chavadik to take your first candle and to light your second candle with your first candle. First candle is Iker Mitzvah. Your second candle is Hider Mitzvah. Will be called Mokim came in a Ritzoyne Litzes Bad Lakosi Shulzer Hema Muchuyov Medina Bad Laka Pavinir Chanukah Mamish. So he says the person who's lighting his own menorah, he doesn't have in mind, I only want to be Yotzei with my first candle. I want to be Yotzei with all of my candles. If my das is significant over here, so I have in mind that I want to light all of them l'mitzvah. If that's the case, so then they all have the status of a mitzvah. In other words, if when I light my menorah, I have in mind not to be Yetzir with my father's menorah, and if I can make a bracha, and therefore every menorah is the status of a mitzvah. So when I light my own menorah, I'm the only guy in the house, so I have in mind not to be Yetzir with the first candle. I have in mind to be Yetzir with all the candles. Therefore they're all part of the mitzvah. So why does the Rambam say that the first candle is different? If Das makes a, can put my mitzvah in limbo, so why is it my Das putting my mitzvah in limbo throughout my own menorah? We keep Eger saying, I don't understand this Rambam. But he leaves it Mitzorach here. All right. So now, just to finish up the Rikki Vager, right? This is very moving on from what's really important for us right now, and that Rikki Vager says there is a machlokes Eliyahu Rabba and the Pri Chodosh whether one makes a bracha on the Hider Mitzvah. In other words, when a person, these situations where a person has lit seven candles on the eighth night and wants to now do the Mahadrin, or where a person is living without a bracha and wants to do the last, as a machlaikis between the Prichodesh and the Rabbah, whether we make a bracha, hayyos is a bracha on the mitzvah, is there a bracha on the Hider mitzvah? Chazal mesakein a bracha on the Hider mitzvah. So again, if you hold the Chazal mesakein bracha on your mitzvah, then our kash is not a kash. It's only that if you hold the Chazal or not mesakein a bracha on the Hider mitzvah, that the issue becomes an issue in Chanukah. All right. So again, so what we wanted to accomplish with Rabbi Kiveger is to see a true Rabbi Kiveger. And his particular question, he has three Stephen Lachem. And through the tshuva, we saw a lot of other sugyas. But to answer the question about how is it that we have the practice of making a bracha on what is essentially Hider Mitzvah. So the answers vary from, number one, the Eliyahu Rabbah says, Chazal or Mesakein, you can make a bracha on your mitzvah. End of story. Or to say that this mitzvah is different, like the Rashi. Or to say, Yaakov Emden, this bracha is different than other brachas. Or to say, Rabbi Kiva Eger, that we have in mind not to be Yotzei. Or to explain, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, along the lines of the Brisk Rav Mahalach in the Rambam, that the actual prismaness done by the first person is enhanced by the ongoing halakas of everybody else in the home. All right, so hopefully the Iyun in this part of Ner Chanukah will make the Yom Tov a more meaningful Yom Tov, not Yom Tov, a Chag, and we'll reconvene with Hashem on Zayis Chanukah.